Isaiah 11 and verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." So I've entitled the message, "My Holy Mountain." Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts. Guide us in your truth. Make this a special time as we gather together and assemble around your word and our Savior. May we each open our hearts to hear from you tonight and to learn and to grow. And we commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So we see in this passage that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes, he is that branch that we read about here of the stem of Jesse, the rod out of Jesse, the branch. And he will come and establish God's holy mountain, which, of course, is referring to God's kingdom, which we've been talking a lot about in Sunday school. Keep your place here. Go to Revelation 5, where the Bible makes it clear who this branch out of Jesse is. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Revelation 5:5. The Bible says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." So we see it as Jesus Christ who will come and establish God's holy mountain on the earth. And in this passage that we read, these nine verses, we find at least five of God's descriptions of what this kingdom will be about. And I've used the word perfect for each one because everything God does is perfect. So we see, first of all, back in our passage, perfect rule in the kingdom. What do I mean by that? It means that no mistakes. You know, now in our justice system, there's a lot of mistakes because we're weak. We don't know everything. But Jesus Christ will rule and reign, but it'll be perfect rule because he makes no mistakes and he knows everything. And that's what the Bible told us there in verse 2. It says the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, of counsel and might and of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It says in verse 4, "With righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth." Equity means equality. Something that man keeps trying for and can't find. There will be a perfect rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now keep your place here and go to Isaiah 61. And verse 1, where we read more about this perfect rule that the Lord Jesus Christ will execute during the kingdom. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." That is the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go to Jeremiah 23, just another book over, and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, where again we see that this branch out of David, what kind of rule he will have during the kingdom. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." So when Jesus Christ rules the earth, it will be a perfect rule. And part of that rule will be verses 4 and 5. I call it perfect justice. Sin will be punished and goodness will be rewarded perfectly. No mistakes. Perfect justice. Notice in verse 4, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. So there's still going to be punishment meted out for wrongdoing, because the earth will have sinners. But it'll be perfect punishment. It'll be perfect justice. It says in verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So if you go to Revelation 19, keep your place here. And Revelation 19 is the chapter where Jesus Christ comes back on a white horse to judge the earth and then set up his kingdom. And notice Revelation 19 and verse 15. The Bible says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So when he comes back, first he judges, as we see there, he'll smite the nations. That's Matthew 25. But then it says he will rule with a rod of iron, a perfect justice. If, you know, the Old Testament penalty for murder is death, right? If you commit murder in the kingdom, I'm guessing that you will be instantly slain by the Lord Jesus Christ. There doesn't need to be a court system. You don't really need solicitors and lawyers. Why? Jesus knows everything. He knows it perfectly. He makes no mistakes. We will be there, literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in their perfect bodies will be there ruling and reigning with Jesus around the earth. So there will be no mistakes. And so there will be instant and perfect justice in the earth during this time. And Jesus Christ will be that king. It will be a kingdom. Can't have a kingdom without a king. So it's not a democracy. It's not a republic. It's none of those things. It is a kingdom. It is a monarchy. But the good news is that the king is perfect and does everything right. So keep your place here and look at Zechariah 14, and we'll look at one other scripture about this perfect justice during the kingdom. And so we're going to have perfect rule, perfect justice. Notice Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. This is the next to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah 14, 9. The Bible says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. So there's not going to be multiple kings. There's going to be one king, Jesus. And he will be king over all the earth. There will be one nation, Jesus' nation. And perfect justice meted out by the perfect king. Well, moving on in our passage, not only will there be perfect rule and perfect justice, but perfect conditions. And you read some of that already in verses 6, 7, and 8. Imagine a wolf dwelling with a lamb, a leopard lying down with a baby lamb, and a calf and a lion laying together, a little child leading around a lion, and a cow and a bear feeding together, lions eating straw like the ox. So it looks like probably prior to the fall, the animals were vegetarians, I'm guessing, and it looks like the Lord's returning the earth to that condition, that part of the fall was carnivores and so forth. It says in verse 8, the child shall play on the hole of the asp, a baby, and that the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. So there won't be poisonous snakes anymore, which again, part of the fall. The poisonous snakes, probably poisonous everything. So Australia have nothing left. There'll be nothing bad. 8 of the 10 worst, deadliest animals in the world are in Australia. So the Isaiah 65 tells us more. Turn over there about this perfect conditions that there will be during the kingdom. Isaiah chapter 65, notice verse 20. So not only will the animals be vegetarians and all tame, But in talking about the perfect conditions of this holy mountain or kingdom, notice verse 20 of Isaiah 65, "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." 100 years old, considered to be young. And keep your place here at 65. Look at verse 25. "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." So there will be no more predators. People don't have to fear being attacked by a whatever. I know New Zealand doesn't really relate to that very much, but there are parts of the world where you can get attacked by an animal and actually get killed by it. And that will be gone during the kingdom. People will not fear those things. So, vegetarian animals, tame, there won't be wild animals, there won't be predator animals, and people will live longer. And then if you go to Amos chapter 9, one other thing about the conditions, we could look at things all night, but just to give you some glimpses about these perfect conditions during this kingdom age. Amos chapter 9, look at verse 13. The Bible says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." I guarantee you blackberries are part of the curse. I was cutting them down around my property this afternoon. Thorns, part of the curse. We were told that in the book of Genesis. The Bible says that the soil will be so amazing, the earth will be such that things just grow like they're supposed to. And that the next guy's coming in to plow and they're still pulling fruit off or whatever they happen to be growing. So that's what it's going to be like in the kingdom. Imagine. And we're going to be there, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Perfect conditions. Then we saw in verse 9, number 4, Isaiah 11, we see perfect peace. Notice it says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." Now there will still be sinners, as we talked about. That's why you need the perfect justice. But it will be a peaceful earth. And earth doesn't even know what that means since the fall. Man has been, we've been killing each other since we were allowed to. And we'll continue to do so. But not during the kingdom. There won't be wars. It will not be that way anymore. They will not hurt nor destroy. Notice Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Talking again about this holy mountain. It says, "And he shall judge among the nations, he shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." No more war. No more weapons needed. There won't be necessary. Because the Prince of Peace will be ruling. It will be a time of perfect peace. And there will be no more violence. There will be no more fighting. There will be no more wars. It'll all be taken care of. It says in Micah 4:3, "Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation." It won't happen. So perfect peace. And then the last thing we see, notice Isaiah 11:9, is perfect knowledge. Look, it says, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." There won't be one person on earth who doesn't know who God is, who Jesus is. Now, does that mean everybody gets saved? Unfortunately not. But there will be a knowledge of God among every inhabitant of the earth. That's never happened before, but it will be true during this holy mountain, this holy kingdom. "The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Look in Jeremiah 31. We'll see another verse about this. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34. The Bible says, Jeremiah 31:34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." They're specifically taught about Israel, but he's saying everybody will know him. And then look in Zephaniah chapter 3 is another example of what it will be like with this perfect knowledge. It looks like not only will the earth be changed geographically, which is in Zechariah chapter 14, not only will animals be all tame and vegetarians, and there will be this perfect justice and perfect conditions and perfect peace, but it looks like there will only be one language. Remember the Tower of Babel? God's going to undo that. Notice Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." So the thing that the world tries so hard to acquire, peace, no war, all of us as nations just all getting along, and it just isn't going to happen until the kingdom. And then there will just be one language, one king, one nation, one justice system, all under the Lord Jesus Christ, his holy mountain. And it will be worldwide. How many times have we seen, as the waters cover the sea, the whole earth, every inhabitant will all, as we see there in Zephaniah 3:9, they all call upon the name of the Lord. So, his holy mountain, which we get to be part of, perfect rule, perfect justice, perfect conditions, perfect peace, perfect knowledge. Imagine that. Makes you thankful to be a Christian. Now let's close in Revelation 19, if we could. And I just want to show you, I know I keep saying it, but I just want to show you where we come back with Jesus. Notice Revelation 19 and verse 13. Well, look at verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Look at verse 14. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Now look over in chapter 20, where the Bible tells us in the verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we're not just making this up. We will reign with Jesus 1,000 years after we return with him on our own white horse, after spending some time with him in heaven, after the rapture, having the judgment seat of Christ, receiving the robe of righteousness, getting our new bodies. We get to come back with Jesus and get to take part in and help rule in, as we saw there, kings and priests. We help get to rule with Jesus Christ and reign with him 1,000 years in his holy mountain. What a blessing.